Mr. Meyer, Commissioner, Mr. Toya for.
Good morning. May it please the court, Jeffrey Meyer on behalf of petitioner AgriProcessor. The crux of this appeal stems from the board's interpretation and definition of who is an employee under the National Labor Relations Act.
Can I ask you before you start?
Sure.
Why this hasn't been waived? I mean, you didn't raise this in the representation hearing, did you? The whole illegal alien being
Correct.
An accessory employee.
Well, we have a number of bases. One, the inherent conflict between the Immigration Reform and Control Act and the NLRA, as well as a couple of issues dealing with strictly the labor law, dealing with the employee's lack of a continuing expectation or a reasonable expectation of continuing employment, as well as a lack of a community of interest between the undocumented workers and those in the unit who were lawful employees. So therefore, the issue, I believe, is continued from the representation hearing through the ULP hearing when we refused to bargain on these grounds and has since continued to this point.
I think the question is, why didn't you find out the immigration status at that time?
It's my understanding that at some point after the election, the employees went on strike, or the purported bargaining unit members went on strike. During that time was when the immigration issues that we're facing now began to arise. The employer ran a background check, checked the Social Security numbers through two different sources, as it did with all its employees, and thereby determined that the employees who were on strike and the bargaining unit members were in fact undocumented workers. Therefore, they could not reinstate them pending an unconditional offer of reinstatement from the union to return the workers to work.
Why didn't the company do that when they hired these people?
When they hired them, they were provided, obviously this predates my involvement, but they were provided with the necessary I-9 forms and specific documents, which at the time on their face...
But what changed between that time and the time when the employer ran the checks on the Social Security numbers other than this dispute about the election?
What changed was overwhelming immigration issues that have arisen within the country. I believe actually the client had told us at one point that they read an article and this is obviously not in the record, but they read an article in one of the newspapers in New York that a large number of employees in the specific industry were in fact undocumented. And that raised a number of concerns with them. Hence, they looked into the status of all the I-9 documentation.
Well, why isn't the issue you raise here on the merits just completely resolved by the Supreme Court's decision in Shertan?
In what case, Your Honor? I didn't hear.
Pardon me?
I didn't hear.
Why
you.
Isn't the entire issue you're raising here resolved by the Supreme Court's decision in Shertan? I mean, what's left for us to do? Shertan's already resolved this question.
Shertan was, it obviously preceded the Immigration Reform and Control Act, and it also preceded Hoffman.
Well, but Hoffman was related to the board's remedial powers, and Hoffman itself says that it wasn't in any way questioning Shertan, changing Shertan's definition of an employee.
Well, I would submit that, one, the definition of an employee when the individuals at issue are legally unavailable to work, as they would be under
But it was
under
the
IRCA.
Same case. They were illegal aliens in Hoffman Plastics, and they were illegal aliens here. And the court in Hoffman Plastics said that it wasn't reconsidering its determination in Shertan that these people are technically employees under the statute.
I understand, Your Honor. I would still argue, though, that...
But on what grounds? I mean, you've got... Yeah, I mean, you know what Shertan says.
Correct.
Right, so what's left for us to do?
What is left?
Shertan says these people are employees.
Correct.
Under the Act.
And I would submit that...
The Supreme Court has never changed that. And why aren't we just bound by that?
And I would submit that because of the conflict that has arisen between the Immigration Reform and Control Act, even though Shertan does say that these workers are undocumented workers are employees, I believe that there's a conflict between board law and immigration law, which was given rise to in Hoffman, which continues.
But what do you do with the language in Hoffman Plastics, which said they weren't reconsidering that?
I would seek to have that expanded to...
By us?
Well, based on the conflict between the two, I would submit that the holding in Hoffman be expanded to
Wait, but
reason
you're in the D.C. Circuit, not the Supreme Court here.
Correct.
Okay. How do we do that? You want us to overrule Shertan?
Well, I would ask the court to rule that because there is no reasonable expectation of continued employment with these individuals because of their undocumented status. And upon finding out and upon establishing that they are in fact undocumented, an employer cannot employ them going forward, that undocumented status began the second they provided those documents to their employer. The workers were on notice when they presented themselves to the petitioner for work that they were in fact undocumented. Therefore, they never had a continuing expectation of employment. Therefore, they're more akin to what the board
how's
has termed a temporary
from, how's
worker.
That any different from Shertan?
It's different because I think there's different circumstances here based upon the election as well as the... in IRCA as well. I believe there's an expansion of it there. It expands upon the Shertan definition. And based upon this lack of a reasonable expectation of employment, these employees, the workers at issue, do not share a community of interest with the other members of the bargaining unit who would, in fact, be lawful, documented employees. The board in Hoffman, or the board as well as Supreme Court in Hoffman, held that where employees who engaged in illegal conduct would not have traditional board remedies available to them, such as back pay or reinstatement. I submit the same thing is true here, going forward with employment at all.
That's remedies to the employees, though. The court made clear that other significant remedies were still available.
Which is my understanding, would be a notice posting. I'm unaware of any other remedy that the board would have, which Hoffman alludes to.
Would refer to the traditional remedies, I believe.
And in this case, because now there's knowledge that they are, in fact, undocumented, those remedies, I can't foresee, or I couldn't posit what those remedies would be. I would have to leave that to the board. But I'm unaware of any traditional remedy that the board would have based on the undocumented status of these workers.
Actually, you know, you're relying heavily on the new immigration law, right?
That we are yeah. relying on a conflict between that and the labor yeah. law, correct?
Well, if you were right, wouldn't employers have quite a nice incentive to hire undocumented workers now?
Well, under the because, immigration
yeah, under your theory, under your theory, because they could hire them and. You know, if they ever got involved in collective bargaining, then you could avoid the elections by saying they're not qualified to vote.
Well, knowingly hiring undocumented, they'd be subject to a number
of
sanctions.
No, you just not look. In other words, you know, you have a real incentive not to look very hard. Because this is perfect. You get workers who in the end are not really protected by the NLRA, or for that matter, according to your theory, OSHA or anything else, right?
Your point is taken.
Yeah.
I would still put to the court that there are a number of sanctions which an employer would face under under IRCA, which I think would dissuade an employer from pursuing those grounds. Not to mention that the I-9 form verification system is still in place. They still have an obligation to review the various forms of documentation that would have to be provided. And obviously, an employer could try to skirt the issue any way they so chose. But in this case, yeah, I would be on a bad foot if I were to seek the mercy of the court when an employer knowingly would violate an act and then seek to have it overturned or to seek to have their act validated in effect. That obviously would not be a proper argument to make. So not that we're hinting at any of that here. And finally, just to get back to the community of interest aspect, the employees at issue here, the undocumented workers, based on the illegal conduct, in fact, the criminal conduct from providing this improper form of identification and verification under IRCA, lack that community of interest in determining what is a proper bargaining unit under the National Labor Relations Act. For that reason, as well as the other ones I set forth, we would seek to have the board's cross-application for enforcement denied and the board's order overturned.
All right, thank you. Ms. Broido.
Good morning, Your Honors. Julie Broido representing the National Labor Relations Board. Judge Tatel is absolutely correct that this case is entirely resolved by Supreme Court history and the legislative history of the of IRCA. In Chertan, the Supreme Court affirmed the board's finding that undocumented workers are statutory employees under the National Labor Relations Act. And in Hoffman Plastics, the court in footnote 4 reaffirmed that holding in Chertan is not at issue here and isn't disturbed in any way. In addition, the legislative history of IRCA finds that Congress explicitly found that the sanctions of IRCA are not intended to limit in any way the scope of the term employee under Section 2.3 of the National Labor Relations Act. So therefore, that the precedent completely undermines the company's assertion that these workers who voted in an election in 2005 are not statutory employees, and indeed the company has cited no precedent whatsoever to support its position that these workers are not statutory employees.
Assuming we agree with you, what's the remedy in this case?
Well, it's a bargaining order, and another important point is...
It's a what?
There is a bargaining order that runs between the company and the union. This case is not in any way about the fate of the employees who voted in this election in 2005. Nothing in the board's order speaks to what happens to them. They were in the unit, they were working for the employer during the stipulated eligibility period, and so they were entitled to vote. It seems that at some point they went on strike and have not been reinstated, but nothing in the board's order requires the company to take any action with respect to those employees. They are completely out of the picture, and in that respect, this case differs from Concrete Form Walls, which the 11th Circuit recently affirmed, which also involved undocumented workers who not only had voted in an election but also were pretextually discharged. So this case is not in any way about the fate of the workers who voted in September 2005. Well, for whatever reason, the board permitted the company to raise this issue in the technical 8A5 proceeding. It certainly seems to me that, you know, the board could have said this was not newly discovered evidence, because what the record shows, and all it shows, is that in April 2006, during the technical 8A5 proceeding, Mr. Meyer ran a database search with the Social Security Administration, which showed that the Social Security numbers the employees had given, most of the employees had given to the company, were not matching with the Social Security database. For whatever reason, the board did not apply its newly discovered evidence rule, but instead...
Has to add the D.C. Circuit to the other circuits.
I can't say why, but the board's... I mean, there is another point which the hearing officer reached and which the board adopted, that this offer of proof in no way established anything concerning these employees' illegality. The Social Security Administration itself says that in its circulars that a non-matching Social Security number does not establish or say anything about legal immigration status, because the pool of non-matching numbers is so vastly exceeds the pool of illegal aliens. But in any event, I think the board just wanted to reaffirm the basic principle that the Supreme Court agreed with in Shertan and Hoffman, that these undocumented workers are employees under the Act.
Even though, as Member Kersenow said, it leads to a somewhat peculiar result, at least in the eyes of the average person, as he put it?
Well, the average person probably hasn't read Section 2.3 of the National Labor Relations Act, or Shertan, or Hoffman Plastics, or the legislative history of the IRCA, which, you know, is about this thick. yes, but the other thing to keep in mind, that the average person probably wouldn't recognize, that this case says nothing about the fate of the workers who voted on that day in September 23rd, 2005. Their fate is not at issue here in any way. There's just a bargaining obligation.
Well, it suggests that the decision made on representation of employees at a company can be made by people who are illegally in this country.
Maybe, maybe not. But the point is that they were there, they were in the unit, they voted, they are considered employees under the National Labor Relations Act, and unless the employer acts on its suspicion and discharges the employees before the election, they're stuck with the stipulated eligibility formula. I mean, it's similar to, there have been situations like St. Gobain Plastics and other cases where an employee quits right after an election.
Right.
He's still entitled to vote.
No.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Position. Does Mr. Mayor have any time?
Just to address a few points raised, the bargaining order that's the crux of the argument here, it compels the petitioner to bargain with the union over a bargaining unit that is made up of entirely new employees. Which was the issue Judge Kavanaugh raised and raised by Member Kersenow in
but
his...
But that can happen in a normal case, right, with when you have employees coming and going.
But the entire unit in this case isn't there.
Yeah. They were well, your position reinstated. Doesn't depend on that, though.
No. The issue goes well beyond that, but I just wanted to
clarify. The facts here is that almost all the employees were potentially illegal.
And hence unable to be reinstated. Correct. Their mere presence as undocumented has compromised the bargaining unit. It has diluted the rights of those in the unit who were lawful.
I thought you said there weren't any.
There may or may not have been. As far as we're aware,
well,
everybody
was... You just told me when I asked you the question that there weren't.
As far as we're aware, everybody was unlawful. But
was unlawful, so then whose rights did it dilute?
Anybody who may have been in the unit, any employee who the
I'm
company
sorry,
could have hired, could
oh,
have been there.
Oh, you mean not? You mean somebody out there who wasn't yet hired but could have been? Who was
there's
legal?
People in the unit now who are employed, who will be affected by this, who are affected by the votes of an undocumented worker who was never legally available to work in the first instance. That's the effect that this has had. I would. To draw the analogy to an employee who quits, who is voted and then quits and the vote counts, obviously that is true. But where that employee was never constituted employee or was never supposed to be part of that unit to begin with, had obtained that title fraudulently, that vote should not count. And the unit should be, the election should be rejected and we should start all over again. That's the crux here. Drawing an analogy to an employee who quits is, I believe, misplaced. And after that, I have nothing further.
Thank you.